The Time Traveler's Wife, excerpt by Audrey Niffinger. Friday, February 2nd, 2007. Claire is 35. Claire, I sleep all day. Noises flit around the house. Garbage truck in the alley. Rain. Tree rapping against the bedroom window. I sleep. I inhabit sleep firmly, willing it, wielding it, pushing away dreams, refusing, refusing. Sleep is my lover now, my forgetting, my opiate, my oblivion. The phone rings and rings. I have turned off the machine that answers with Henry's voice. It is afternoon. It is night. It is morning. Everything is reduced to this bed. This endless slumber that makes the days into one day, makes time stop, stretches and compacts time until it is meaningless. I breathe slowly and deeply. I make my eyes still under eyelids. I make my mind still and soon sleep, seeing a perfect reproduction of himself, comes to be united with his facsimile. Sometimes I wake up and reach for Henry. Sleep erases all differences, then and now, dead and living. I am past hunger, past vanity, past caring. This morning I caught sight of my face in the bathroom mirror. I am paper-skinned, gaunt, yellow, ring-eyed, hair-matted. I look dead. I want nothing. Kemi sits at the foot of the bed. She says, "Claire, Alba's home from school. Won't you let her come in, say hi?" I pretend to sleep. Alba's little hand strokes my face. Tears leak from my eyes, and then Alba crawls into bed with me. She wraps my arm around her, thrusts her head under my chin. I sigh and open my eyes. Alba pretends to sleep. I stare at her thick black eyelashes, her wide mouth, her pale skin. She is breathing carefully. She clutches my hip with her strong hand. She smells of pencil shavings and rosin and shampoo. I kiss the top of her head. Alba opens her eyes, and then her resemblance to Henry is almost more than I can bear. Kemi gets up and walks out of the room. Later, I get up, take a shower, eat dinner sitting at the table with Kemi and Alba. I sit at Henry's desk after Alba has gone to bed, and I open the drawers. I take out the bundles of letters and papers, and I begin to read. A letter to be opened in the event of my death, December 10, 2006. Dearest Claire, as I write this, I'm sitting at my desk in the back bedroom looking out at your studio across the backyard, full of blue evening snow. Everything is slick and crusty with ice, and it is very still. It's one of those winter evenings when the coldness of every single thing seems to slow down time, like the narrow center of an hourglass, which time itself flows through, but slowly, slowly. I have the feeling, very familiar to me when I am out of time, but almost never otherwise, of being buoyed up by time, floating effortlessly on its surface like a fat lady swimmer. I had a sudden urge tonight, here in this house by myself, to write you a letter. I suddenly wanted to leave something for after. I think that time is short now. I feel as though all my reserves of energy, of pleasure, of duration are thin, small. I don't feel capable of continuing very much longer. I know you know. If you are reading this, I'm probably dead. I say probably because you never know what circumstances may arise. It seems foolish and self-important to just declare one's own death as an out-and-out fact. About this death of mine, I hope it was simple and clean and unambiguous. I hope it didn't create too much fuss. I'm sorry. This reads like a suicide note. Strange. But you know that if I could have stayed, if I could have gone on, that I would have clutched every second. Whatever it was, this death, you know that it came and took me, like a child carried away by goblins. Claire, I want to tell you again, I love you. Our love has been the thread through the labyrinth, the net under the high wire walker, the only real thing in this strange life of mine that I could ever trust. Tonight, I feel that my love for you has more density in this world than I do myself, as though it could linger on after me and surround you, keep you, hold you. I hate to think of you waiting. I know that you have been waiting for me all your life, always uncertain of how long this patch of waiting would be. 10 minutes, 10 days, a month. What an uncertain husband I have been, Claire, like a sailor. Odysseus, alone and buffeted by tall waves, sometimes wily and sometimes just a plaything of the gods. Please, Claire, when I am dead, stop waiting and be free. Of me, put me deep inside you, and then go out in the world and live. Love the world and yourself in it. Move through it as though it offers no resistance, as though the world is your natural element. I have given you a life of suspended animation. I don't mean to say that you have done nothing. You have created beauty and meaning in your art, and Alba, who is so amazing. And for me, you have been everything. After my mom died, she ate my father up completely. She would have hated it. Every minute of his life since then has been marked by her absence. Every action has lacked dimension because she is not there to measure against. And when I was young, I didn't understand, but now I know how absence can be present. If I had to live on without you, I know I could not do it. But I hope. I have this vision of you walking unencumbered with your shining hair in the sun. I have not seen this with my eyes, but only with my imagination. That makes pictures, that always wanted to paint you, shining. But I hope that this vision will be true anyway. Claire, there is one last thing, and I have hesitated to tell you because I'm superstitiously afraid that telling might cause it to not happen. I know, silly. And also because I have just been going on about not waiting, and this might cause you to wait longer than you have ever waited before. But I will tell you, in case you need something, after. Last summer, I was sitting in Kendrick's waiting room when I suddenly found myself in a dark hallway in a house I don't know. I was sort of tangled up in a bunch of galoshes and it smelled like rain. At the end of the hall, I could see a rim of light around a door, and so I went very slowly and very quietly to the door and looked in. The room was white and intensely lit with morning sun. At the window, with her back to me, sat a woman wearing a coral-colored cardigan sweater with long white hair all down her back. She had a cup of tea beside her on a table. I must have made some little noise, or she sensed me behind her. She turned and saw me, and I saw her, and it was you, Claire. This was you as an old woman in the future. It was sweet, Claire. It was sweet beyond telling. To come as though from death to hold you, and to see the years all present in your face. I won't tell you anymore, so you can imagine it, so you can have it unrehearsed when the time comes, as it will, as it does come. We will see each other again, Claire. Until then, live fully present in the world, which is so beautiful. It's dark now, and I'm very tired. I love you, always. Time is nothing. Henry.